Michael Enenche is a senior pastor of Dunamis International Gospel Center, Area 1, Garaki, Abuja. In a dry and barren
land. James chapter 5. Anybody there say amen? Okay, if you are there, you can read verse 17. You are not there, and you said amen. All right, let's start from verse 16. One, two, go. Confess your faults and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Verse 17 is our concern. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Praise God. This morning I want to speak on the subject Elijah's secrets of authority. Elijah was a man who walked in the realm of very unusual spiritual authority and audacity, far beyond the authority of any king that reigned while he was alive. Can you imagine a person in the kingdom more powerful than the king? Elijah held the king of Israel, Ahab, and the whole nation of Ahab, he held them to ransom for 3.5 years. His words were not suggestions. His word was legislation. His words were powerful enough to suspend the climatic condition over Israel for 3.5 years. Pregnant with power. What could be responsible for such a realm of authority? Upon everything the man cheated death. It is appointed unto man once to die. But before death could come, he escaped. God took him. He was raptured bodily into heaven. My father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof, and then the chariots of fire and horses of fire appeared and took him. He took off. I believe there are people hearing the sound of my voice this morning. By the time we are through, you will cheat what affects others. You will surmount what suppresses others. You will escape what arrests others. I may not talk to everybody, but one person at least. You said this is the thing that that arrests people in your family, that arrests people from your place. By the authority, the Elijah order of authority, I see somebody escape. Somebody say, I escape. In the name of Jesus. What could be the secret of such realm of authority and audacity? The first thing that I saw in my Bible, the Bible says Elijah was a man, not an angel. You know that the Hebrews and the Jews, they have a superstition that since they couldn't, because if you look at the Bible, you will never see the ancestral lineage of Elijah. They cannot say Elijah the son of this or the son of that. You didn't see it. I didn't see it. He just appeared. Nobody knew his history. Then he just appeared. And they say Elijah the Tishbite. It's like saying Paul the Benwayite or the... I mean, you can't call his father. You can't call his mother. Teach bite. It looks to me like he will teach you and bite you.
his ancestral lineage, and it was not recorded or written, it was assumed that he must have been an angel that appeared clothed in human flesh. And he performed such unusual feats and then disappeared to eternity because he couldn't die. But the Bible settles the controversy. Elijah was a man. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor, say, Elijah was a man. A man like you and me. So what he achieved, you can achieve. Elijah was not an extraterrestrial being. Elijah was not a celestial being. Elijah was a normal, ordinary person like anybody seated here today. You know, we have a tendency to place some people in a class. When you see a man of God all of a sudden perform some unusual miracle, you see him in some realm, all of a sudden you begin to think that these ones are in another, they are in another class. The man is almost a spirit. Benihin or Pastor Adeboye, it's almost a spirit. Just leave them alone. We are ordinary people. No, sir. The possibilities of Elijah are your possibilities. The possibility of anybody you know that is being used of God to any degree, they are your possibilities because they are men like you. Somebody say amen. Amen. Hear this. The power of God does not belong to a special class of superhuman people. Hear me. The power of God, authority with God, does not belong to a special class of superhuman people. It does not take extraordinary people to see extraordinary power. It takes ordinary people connected to an extraordinary God to see extraordinary power. Say it again. It does not take extraordinary people to see extraordinary power. You don't have to be an extraordinary person to see extraordinary authority or power. You don't have to be an extraordinary person to see an extraordinary miracle. All you need to be is an ordinary person that is connected to an extraordinary God, and you walk in extraordinary authority. Are we together? Elijah was a man. That means the secret of Elijah was not Elijah. The secret of Elijah was God. It was not the humanness of Elijah that produced his power. It was the almightiness of God that produced the power in Elijah. Again, it was not the humanness of Elijah that produced the power. It was the almightiness of God at work in Elijah that produced the power. Somebody say amen. Amen. Can we go a little bit further? This is a word of hope for somebody. Because people have the capacity to write themselves off. Write themselves. God can use Pastor Paul. God can use any other, but not people like us. Some people, there are some people who can say it and see the result, but not people like us. Look at your neighbor, say it is not true. Look at someone, say God can use you too. Am I speaking to somebody here? You may not be a pastor like I am now and work in the realm of ministerial authority, but you can be a politician and work in political authority. You can be a businessman and work in financial authority. You can be an educationist and work in academic authority. Any realm you are, you can remain in authority if you will only realize that you don't need to be extraordinary to see the extraordinary. And the Bible further worsened the matter by telling us that he was a man of like passion. The Amplified Version says, he was a man with a nature such as we have, with feelings, affections, and constitution like us. That is, if anybody here is not perfect, Elijah was like that. Hello? Are you still hearing me? The communal imperfection of humanity affected Elijah. The tendencies of generalized tendencies of humankind, Elijah didn't escape it. Can I tell you that Elijah, who called down fire on the Mount Carmel, when a woman by the name Jezebel said, if your head and your neck remain together by this time tomorrow, my name is not Jezebel. Elijah told his brothers, Obos, I'm coming. This woman mean business. Hello? This guy ran. What am I talking about? Elijah also can fear. The Elijah you used to hear about, he too knows how to fear. Hello? And many men, there are many men here who won't fear a woman. Not that women are to be despised, but that is how the society is. But this guy, I'm coming. Imagine calling down fire and slaughtering 450 men, prophets of Baal, in an instant. And a woman said, wait for me. He said, me? Look at your neighbor, say, the guy was a man. Look at someone, say, you may even be stronger than him. And do you know what he did? He came before God and he said, oh God, let me die. I am not worthy to live. But he's not telling the truth. Because Jezebel said he wants to kill him. If you are really interested in death, you would have waited. Jezebel wanted to kill him. That is so Elijah to know how to do some corny also, with some corny kind of prayer. How can you be looking for death and running from death? You are looking for you to kill you. Jezebel wanted to assist you with your vision. Look at your neighbor, say, Elijah was a man. Can you see that? He was discouraged too. To the point of wanting to die. Have you ever felt discouraged before? Elijah was like that. Is there somebody seated here today who said a point came in your life where you felt like, what is the use of this life? In fact, this is better. Yeah, I'm all right. Let me just go and meet God. Let me go to heaven. The challenges of this world is too much. I can't face it again. Elijah, my brother, colleague in arms. Are we together here? The same Elijah was comparing himself with those his elders. Look at them. I have done more than them. Yeah. Have you ever found yourself where you are trying to compare yourself? Look at all of us graduated together, and now see where I am. Elijah did like that too. Am I communicating with somebody here? And Elijah was high tempered, very impatient. Who are you looking for? Me? Fire! Are you hot-headed? Your head, the hot.
Your head, they hurt. Very well, you get strong head.
Elijah be like that.
Am I speaking to anybody here? Now, if there is hope for Elijah, hear me. There is hope for anybody seated here. If Elijah can achieve any result, hear me. Anybody here can achieve anything in this life. If there is somebody who believes that, shout yes! Look at your neighbor by yourself. Say, if Elijah can make it, I can make it. Look at somebody and say, if Elijah can make it, I shall make it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And it looks to me like what they call love is not in Elijah's dictionary. What love your neighbor as yourself? Relax. Let me finish killing them first. I can love them later. To a point where when God wanted to take him to heaven, he didn't tell his assistant pastor. Are you hearing me? Elisha, see, oh God, where are you going? He said, in fact, don't follow me. Let me go to Gilgal. He said, I'll follow you. Where are you going? I'm going to Bethel. Go back. Where are you going? I'm going to Jericho. Don't. Are you okay? They came to Jericho. Where are you going? I'm going beyond Jordan. Come back. I pity the boy. For 21 years, he followed him. God wants to take him. He's not aware. And then he said, now God is about to take me. What do you want me to do for you? Look at you. That is the definition of love. In Elijah's dictionary. If you are a petty person, Elijah is also your brother. I'm not giving you license for all those things, but all I am saying this morning is Elijah was a man. I want you to help me stand up on your feet. You are going to walk to 7 people. Help me speak to them like prophesying and tell them, if Elijah made it, you will make it. If Elijah made it, he will make it. Give the Lord a big clap if you believe that. Give him a clap. You will make it. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. It was Catherine Coleman that said, God is not looking for golden vessels. He's not looking for silver vessels. He is looking for yielded vessels. And I want to say it this way. God is not looking for perfect people. God is not looking for perfect people. God is looking for yielded people. Yielded, surrendered. Authority does not belong to perfect people. Authority in the kingdom belongs to yielded people. It is not your ability he is looking for. It is your availability. It is not your ability he is looking for. It is your usability. Hello? Look at the disciples of Jesus Christ, the people he selected. Were they perfect? They were about to pass a certain village. They didn't allow them to pass. Two of them said, let them burn down the village. James and Joseph, let's roast this. Let's call down fire like Elijah did. Jesus said, Kai, don't talk like that. You should understand the Son of Man you are following. Don't talk like that. Hello? Another one was carrying money and he was a thief. He was stealing from it.
After every offering, he will take some out of it. That Judas is callous. He is very callous. Judas is what? Callous. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Another one cut the ear of somebody. Who is that? That one is, it looks like it goes between mania and you know, melancholia and mania, manic depressive illness. He's excited today, he's depressed tomorrow. Unstable nature. He looked at Jesus and said, "You are the Son, Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said, "Flesh and blood has not revealed to you, but my Father." The next verse he said, Jesus said, "I'm going to Jerusalem to die." He took him and said, "Shut up, don't talk like that." And Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan. You, Satan, you, Peter, you have become. Get behind me, Satan." The person now that flesh and blood did not reveal to just now became Satan in another verse. Are you following what I'm saying? But those were the men that turned the world upside down. That was the same Peter whose shadow healed the sick. Am I speaking to somebody here? One of them doubted him and said, "Wallahi, you are not the one. You didn't die. You are not the person they kill is another person. You are not the person. Except I dip my hand inside where they slash your side, I won't believe." Who is that? Tom? It was the same Tommy that went to India, planted a church in India. I mean, if you read church history, you will see the exploits of Thomas in India. Are you hearing me here today? Paul the Apostle persecuted the church. These were the people he chose. God is not looking for perfect people because they don't exist. You cannot look at the face of a person and say, "This man is perfect." It's a lie. God is not looking for perfect people. He's looking for yielded people. And I want you to take note of the following things I want to say. Are you ready? It doesn't matter how much you have messed up. The first thing I want to say to you on this point is, it doesn't matter how much you have messed up and missed it. You can still make it if you mean it. Can I say it again? It doesn't matter how much you have messed up and missed it. You can still make it if you mean it. Secondly, to see power with God, you don't focus on your weakness. You focus on His greatness. To see power with God, you don't focus on your weakness. You focus on His greatness. Thirdly, never allow your weakness to swallow up your greatness. Don't allow your mistakes to resist your miracles. Don't allow your errors to erode your effort. Say it again. Don't never allow your weakness to swallow your greatness. Don't allow your mistakes to resist your miracles. Don't allow your errors to erode your effort. And don't allow your failures to fight your future. For your information, failure is not a person. Failure is not a person. There is no person that is called a failure. A person who failed does not become a failure except he refused to rise up. Failure is not even an event. Failure is an opinion. Because what you call failure Babylon might be a school. It was out of failure that conflicts came out. The man wanted to do something else. And what he got was conflicts, and people liked it. So he's making money out of it now. Hallelujah. Is somebody here today? Lift up your right and say, I can make it. Say it louder. Say, I can make it. I will make it. I shall make it. In the name of Jesus. My weakness cannot resist my greatness. I shall make it. If Elijah made it, I shall make it. Now, if Elijah was just like we have described, and he commanded the exploits we have mentioned, then what could be the secret of Elijah? I show you two secrets today, and then we are through. Can I do that? Can I do it very fast? The Bible says, number one, Elijah prayed. The secret of Elijah, he prayed. Now. If you read the passage, if you read the translation here in King James Version, he said he prayed earnestly. When I looked at the Greek word for prayer and earnestly, they were literally the same word from the same root. So the translation is, in the Hebrew, the translation is, he prayed prayer. It says, in prayer he prayed. What does that mean? It means he did not pray as an act. He prayed as an attitude. He was on automatic drive prayer wise. Am I communicating? He maintained an attitude of prayer. He was in automatic drive prayer wise. And that gave him a standing place in the presence of God. That was why in 1 Kings chapter 17 verse 1, he said, before God whom I stand. He didn't say before God whom I visit. Hello? Pastor, come. Something is about to happen to somebody here. Stand there. Okay, sit on this step, sorry. Are you looking at him from there? Just sit on this step. Supposing that is the Holy of Holies, that is the presence of the Lord, and we are going for prayer. Some people come and said, I need a husband. Will you give me a husband? Thank you. I'm waiting for you. The next time they come there is 1 week later. This time around, there is a challenge in my office. I don't know. I need an intervention. Amen. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Some people come only on crossover night. All churches are populated. New Year. Just pray. Some people are very dedicated, such that every morning they must come and say, yes, Lord, worship and honor you. You are worthy. Thank you. For 1 hour, 30 minutes, 45 minutes. And then they move. And then they return back tomorrow morning. But that was not Elijah. Elijah, remain here. If he went to the office, he remained there. If he's traveling on the road, he remained there. Anywhere, anything he needs to achieve at any time, he remained there. If he's speaking to you, you. He is speaking to you from here. Am I speaking to somebody here? If he's giving an offering, he's giving an offering from here. If he's answering a phone call, he is answering a phone call from here. If he's replying a witch, he is replying that witch from here. Am I speaking to somebody here? If he attended an interview, he is answering the question from where? From here. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'd like you to help me tell three people, you need a stand in his presence. You need.
God bless you.
You didn't do it well. You didn't do it well. I like you. I like you to stand on your feet. I like you to help me walk to seven people. Tell them you need a stand in his presence. You need a stand. You need a stand. You need a stand. You need a stand. Your seat. Am I speaking to anybody here? That was how Elijah made his mark in his generation. He was not a visitor to the courts of heaven. He was an occupant of the palace. Hi. Those who stand in the corridors of power are called power brokers. Whether it is on earth or in heaven, if you have a stand in the corridors of power, you are a broker, a power broker. Highly influential, highly authoritative. Hear this. To have a stand before the king is to be outstanding in the kingdom. Look at somebody who has a stand in the office of the president. He is the chief of staff, or he is the ADC, or he is somebody, and he has a stand there. That guy must be outstanding in the kingdom. He can assist you get a lot of things done. Am I speaking to anybody here? If you have a stand before the King of Kings, you must be outstanding in this kingdom. To have a place in the palace is to have power with the people. I don't know if somebody is hearing me here today. If anybody is hearing me here, say a louder amen. Amen. Hear this. When a tree is planted beside the waters, its fruit is permanent. It is different from a tree that only receives water seasonally by rainfall. That tree also produces fruit seasonally. But when a tree is planted in the water, is ever productive. Why? Because it is connected to source. When you are rooted in his presence, you are fruitful in power. Is somebody hearing me? When you are rooted, somebody say rooted. Those that be planted in the house of our God, they shall flourish. Psalm 92 from verse 10 down. Those that be planted in the house of our God, they shall flourish. When you see a man equal to emergency, see a woman that is a conduit for kingdom power and authority day or night, he's rooted in the palace. Hello? Can you see what differentiated a man, Elijah, from the rest of us? Even though he could be angry like every other person. Even though he could have this and that character. But he was separated by his lifestyle. What he did. Hear this. The secret of public success is rooted in private victory. Closet victory. But I see people here rise up this morning, and God is going to make you a power broker in this generation. If you are a believer, you will say a louder amen. If you are a believer, you will say a louder amen. If you are a believer, you say the loudest amen. Somebody is going to be quick to ask me a question. Pastor, how do I maintain his presence? How do I stand in his presence? What does it take for me to stand? I'll show you quickly. It means being permanently conscious that you are with God, and refusing to limit fellowship to quiet time. You don't limit fellowship with God to your quiet time. You don't limit fellowship with God to when you came to church. You don't limit your relationship with God just to service. That means while you are driving, you are in touch. While you are reading, you are in touch. While you are eating, you are in touch. While you are flying in the air, you are in touch. Look at your neighbor, say, just remain in touch. Am I communicating? Am I communicating? Give you an example. I wake up. You woke up in the morning. You have finished your quiet time. You have finished your prayer. You have finished the study of the word. You hit the road. Lord, I bless you. While you are driving, your worship is on inside the car, and you are worshiping along while you are driving, or you are hearing his word while you are driving, and while you are moving, you are in touch. And then you notice the favor along the line. You don't wait till tomorrow to thank him for the favor. Right there, oh God, I just worship you. I would have had a terrible accident now if not for your favor. And you are what? In touch. And while you were still on, you are talking with somebody, and you are making a statement, and all of a sudden you realize that you exaggerated something. You didn't say it quite like you should have said it. You probably told a lie, or you stretched the truth, and you are not waiting till tomorrow morning to correct it while you are praying. Right there, oh God, I just made a mistake. I am sorry, I just told a lie. Forgive me, pardon me. In Jesus' name, you are in touch. Am I communicating to somebody? All of a sudden, a light dawned on you. A scriptural revelation. You were studying the Bible, or somebody was talking, and all of a sudden, bam, you got an insight. Oh God, I worship you for this light. Prayer does not mean zikobala bara namana mela gogoro no mama zikala babari namama so halabarota sika. That is not all that there is prayer. Paul the apostle said, praying always with all prayer, which means there are many prayers. That is Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, 19. I'm praying always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit. Praying always, all prayer at all times. Hear this. Your regular fellowship with God in the morning is a prayer. Worship and praise, in fact, is the highest form of prayer. Am I communicating? Appreciating him for the favor he did for you is a prayer. Thanking him for the revelation he just showed you out of the Bible is a prayer. Asking him to help somebody else is a prayer. Studying the Bible and speaking it back to him is a prayer. All prayer. I believe that was what Paul the apostle meant when he said, pray without ceasing. Somebody said, if you do like that, will you not become too abnormal? Will normal people be able to relate? People will be afraid of you one day because you are always praying. No, sir, it's the opposite. My wife knows very well that the more spiritual I get, the more interactive I become. Because if you love God whom you can't see, it is very easy to love man you can see. Have I said too many things this morning? Look at your neighbor, say you need a stand. For some of you that don't have a prayer life, I'll be talking about Daniel another time in a short time from now. For some of you that don't have a prayer life, you must determine now. And for those of you who already have a prayer life, don't come to God the next day. Can you imagine you talk to your wife this morning and you don't talk again till tomorrow morning? That is not relationship. Relationship demands that communication flows. And I must not be kneeling down at a particular place before I know that I am praying. Am I speaking to anybody here at all? All that is important is that my heart is hooked up to God. And from the depth of my spirit, prayer is flowing. Look at your neighbor, say, before God, you must stand. Look at somebody and say, before God, you must stand. Let me give you the final secret. Can I give you the final secret? The final secret of Elijah is rooted in that word where he said, there shall be no rain. I wish I had a full time to preach on this one. There shall be no rain or dew except by my word. That is a negative prayer, isn't it? Other people pray for open heaven. He is asking for closed heaven. Hello? Other people, showers of blessing. Showers of blessings we need. Mercy drops round us are falling. But for the showers we plead. And Elijah said, no showers. No showers, I pray. Heaven must close over Israel. This is my prayer today. What a negative prayer! But there is one secret to it. Open your Bible to the book of Deuteronomy. There is one secret to it. Why Elijah should pray such a prayer. Deuteronomy, dethrone enemy, chapter 28. Dethrone your enemy, chapter 28. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I will show you. I'm going to read verse 23, but I just wanted us to see verse 15. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come on thee and overtake thee. Verse 23 now. He said, and thy heaven that is over thy head shall be brass. That is, it shall be closed. And the earth that is under thee shall be iron. The rain, the Lord will make the rain of your land what? Powder, dust. No water. And dust. From heaven it shall come down upon thee until thou be destroyed. Why did the Lord say so? The Lord said, Israel, if you begin to worship other gods and fail to keep my commandment, you are not entitled to reign. Elijah saw it in the Bible. So the second secret of Elijah is revelation. The second secret, revelation of the word. He saw it from the Bible. Israel was worshiping 450 altars of Baal and another 400 altars of Asherah. And everybody was moving and the whole land was dark. Hear this. Jezebel was a demonic agent. She was like a Satan in human flesh. And the devil, to me, packaged her. And and sent her to ruin Israel. Her father's name is Ethbaal. He was a grandson of Baal, the god worshipped by the Amalekites and all those people. It was like marrying Satan's daughter. Satan sent his daughter. Are you here at all? That is why you must be very, very sensitive. Because there are some of you in your organizations and in your places of assignment. The devil may send some agents to volunteer to work for you. But he wanted to ruin the plan of God for your life. Somebody say, it shall never happen. It was like when Nehemiah began to build the wall of Jerusalem. Sambalat, Tobiah, and Geshem the Arabian, they came and said, we want to build with you. Can we assist you? He said, no, we don't need your assistance. When they refused, they began to resist them. Am I communicating? Hear this. So Elijah came, and after he studied this book of the covenant, and he located where it was written, that if Israel leaves God, they are not permitted to see rain. He went before God and said, are you a liar? Didn't you say that they are not supposed to, and they are not entitled to rain? Why is rain still falling here? With all these idol altars, with all these demonic people everywhere, why is there still rain? It looks to me like God said, I was looking for somebody to stand. I was just looking for somebody to lay hold on of that passage and then move and represent me. Since I have found you, go forward and declare. Somebody shout power! Somebody shout power! And Elijah came and said, Ahab, cut you and your wife. You want to destroy this nation? I announce to you from today, no rain, no dew until you hear from me. Bye. Somebody shout power. Somebody shout power. Somebody shout power. Hear this. Revelation of the word will give you manifestations in the world. Revelation in the word of God will give you manifestation in the world. Hear this. Your understanding of the word will make you outstanding in the world. Everybody bows for the man who stands before God. Understanding of this word of God will make you outstanding in this world of men. Your light in the world determines your flight in the world. Your insight here determines your impact here. Hello? So don't just be carrying the Bible like a novel. Don't be carrying it just like a literature material. Life and death is here. Blessing and curses is here. Authority is here. Prosperity is here. Dignity is here. Royalty is here. Opportunity is here. If you have enough tenacity to locate what is inside. Hello? A lawyer who knows the law is an outstanding lawyer. True or false? He knows the constitution very well. And he knows how to apply the constitution. He has studied cases and he is knowledgeable in the law. He will be a celebrity lawyer. He will be a powerful lawyer. He will be an authority in the legal world. He will hardly lose cases. But he will be a best-selling lawyer. People queue up to rent his services because he's knowledgeable in the law. He is loaded and needed. A medical doctor who understands pathology, understands the disease processes, He understands diagnosis, how to know what disease the person has. He understands therapeutics, the exact kind of treatment and things to administer. Such a medical doctor is a celebrity doctor. He's an outstanding medical doctor. He is in high demand. A teacher, a physics teacher, a chemistry teacher, a teacher of microeconomics or macroeconomics, a teacher of molecular genetics, a teacher of particle physics, who understand his subject, is a darling of the students. True or false? Did you hear what I said? A Christian looking at me here, who understands this book, will be a celebrity in this world. He will be needed in this world. He will be a voice to reckon with. In the kingdom of darkness, demons will hear him and bow. Witches will hear him and fail. Am I speaking to somebody here? Carry your Bible in your hand and lift it up. Carry your Bible in your hand and lift it up. And say after me, Lord Jesus, I ask today, give me an understanding of this book so I can be outstanding in this world. Give me an understanding of this book so I can be outstanding in this world. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. Take your seat. I think I've been talking too much today. We have a lot of hyper-dependent children in the body of Christ today. We have a lot of people running from church to church, ministry to ministry, pastor to pastor, prophet to prophet, in the name of I have a problem. But I think it is better to know what the prophet knows. Or know what the apostle knows that gave him the apostolic mantle. I think it is better to sit down and be instructed and be tutored and taught how to deal with that witch yourself. And that is what people don't want. There is one way to know a baby. He is always crying. There is one way to know a baby Christian. Answer the rest. We have two cats in our house. One is very proud. The other one is very humble. One attends family devotion. The humble one, the other one does not attend. Cat. When it is time for prayer, it begins to come close. The other one doesn't care for the prayer. I don't know how it happens. One of them eats only meat. Meat that you have to fry. And you fry it and have to chew it for it. I said, this is a miscat. It's a decatified cat. The other one is aggressive and voracious. Give him anything, he will eat it. The other one that is humble, the other one that is voracious in appetite, is succeeding. The other one is failing. I said, don't give him no meat anymore. If he's not ready to eat food, he can continue fasting. Hey! I better get out of your way this morning. But you need a gargantuan appetite, a titanic, gigantic appetite, voraciously eating that word, opening that book, listening to the things that are relevant to you, looking for Bible materials, dictionaries, concordances that will help you understand the Bible, and then you can stand. When you come to church like this, you are sharpened, you are polished, you are further instructed, you go back home to check what you were taught, to get it for yourself, and then you stand and say, devil, you are not my age mate. Are we here today? Elijah was a man. He was quickly angry like many of us. But this is the difference. Finally, let me say the final thing. The third thing, which is the final secret of Elijah, I needed to tell you, is that Elijah was a man who aligned himself with the will of God. He knew what God wanted to do. Hello? He aligned himself with the will, the mind of God. And it is very easy to know the will and mind of God if you do the first two things I already said. If you have a stand in his presence, and if you study this word, all of a sudden you begin to think the thoughts of God. He begins to dominate your mind with what is bothering him. You begin to get to know. You see, it's like having a relationship with somebody. If you are not careful and the relationship lasts very long, you begin to talk alike. And some husbands and wives, after a while, begin to look alike, behave alike, laugh alike, crack jokes alike, if it's a real relationship. That is why anybody whose character you don't want to acquire, leave him alone. And so, Elijah knew that God was not stranded, but God needed somebody to speak out. God was in need of disciplining Israel. God was in need of restoring rule and order to Israel. And he wanted somebody who knew it to stand up. And Elijah came. And God said, let us go. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. Hear me. God is looking for people in every generation who can understand his mind. Understand his mind. People who know what God wants to do. What God is planning to do. And they will make themselves available. Then God will do it through them. Am I communicating? Those kind of people move in power. They operate in authority. I'd like you to hear this. When you do the will of God, you win in life. When you do his will, he pays your bill. Can I give you an example? You're already aware of that example, isn't it? The name of the woman was called Hannah. Hannah. Eli and his children failed God. God was looking for a priest. And Hannah was looking for a child. But Hannah forgot her problem and met God. See, forget that I'm looking for a child. That one is another chapter. But the main thing is, I know you are looking for a priest. Give me a child, I will give you that priest. People that operate like that don't have problem. When you make God's burden your burden, he makes you a commander in your generation. Oh God. I just pray that one person here will understand what God is saying here today. Can I tell you what he told me? As I close the chapter, he said, if you make God's fight your personal fight, you will operate in God's power as if it is your own power. Somebody say, is that not heresy? No. If you make God's fight, you stand out and you are pursuing things, you want to achieve things, not because you are looking for this or that, but you are defending God, you are fighting for God. Elijah was not fighting for himself. He was fighting for God because he knew the will of God. When you make God's fight your own fight, God's power, God will make his power. Let me read it well. He said, if you make God's fight your personal fight, you will operate God's power as if it is your own power. Why do I say so? Elijah said, before God whom I stand, there shall be no rain or dew except by the word of the Lord. Is that what he said? Except by what? By my word. I am the one in charge here now. God has delegated the power for me to me. Hello? Hello? Has somebody heard God this morning? That is, oh God, what do you want to do in this church? What is bothering you in this church? What do you want to do? And God says, I want this church to step over to India and to step over to South Africa and to step over to America and to step over. I want this church television program on TBN. I want this church television program on so and so forth. I want the crusades in Abuja here to affect every area of the world. That is what I want. I want the voice of my servant to be heard. What I'm saying through him to be heard. And you knew that. And you come and say, okay, Lord, give me money and I give you the money. It takes money to do the things you want. I don't want money for my sake. I'm all right like I am. I know that this is what is bothering you. Am I speaking to anybody here? Or somebody concerning the nation of Nigeria? What is your real concern for Nigeria? And God begins to communicate to you what he wants Nigeria to become and achieve. And then he said, all right, give me this wisdom. And I'm going to go out and do this thing. And it will not be for my sake, but for your sake in Nigeria. Whenever you are not fighting for yourself, and you are fighting for God, your personal fight is over. Stand on your feet.